together. God, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you that we're celebrating Advent, this season of waiting and expectation. And God, we thank you about how wonderful Christmas is. We thank you that a Savior was born and that we're told to share the good news with others, good news of great joy. God, I pray that you would give us your joy this year, the joy that a Savior was born for us. God, we just pray that that truth is ongoing, but God, help it to be fresh and new to us in a way this year. We thank you for these kids as they head out to their classes. God, that you would just help us to learn new truths and help us to dig in to what your word has for them today. And as Pastor Luann comes up to share, God, that the message would radiate in our hearts as well this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just take it with you. Well, thank you, Pastor Sarah and team. That was so fun. I have to just admit, like, I missed you adults, don't get me wrong, when there were no people here on Sunday mornings, but there's something about children that is just life-giving, and I often smile. I love standing just outside watching them all head out like this to go to Grace Kids, because kids somehow bring such life and joy to our midst. And as I was preparing, I was thinking for this Sunday, I was thinking about children and about the life they give, and about the way we get so excited to share the news that a child is coming. And I was thinking of different birth announcements. And when my kids were young, we didn't have all these digital fancy kind of things that we did. I spent hours making these little paper, like photo birth announcements when they were born. And I had fancy Brad pins. And I was so careful to communicate the fact that we had a baby in a really special way. Nowadays, most of them are done in these really creative digital ways, pregnancy announcements and birth announcements. And so I actually found a few that I thought we'd have some fun with. The irony of this one, I love this one with the pins, but I just wonder if the people who use this or made this actually plan to use diaper pins in their homes. And then there's this next one. These are kind of in my order from, like, towards my most favorite. I love this dog. How to still get trust when the humans are having a baby. And then, baby, it's going to be rough. That's totally fine, because this next one is my absolute favorite. You can flip to the eviction notice. And you'll see this fantastic toddler, very thrilled to have been required to vacate. It says, eviction notice, please notice that you will be required to vacate the premises within 27 weeks as the new tenant is expected to move in March. And I just found these so cute, but I was just reflecting on how we so intentionally communicate the news of new life. And that brings us to the story of the shepherds today, because God chose certain people to communicate new life to. And it's interesting who he picked. In this series, we're journeying through the story, like we're focusing on this witnessing his majesty. And we talked about the wise men who searched and found. And that last week we talked about the mother of Mary. And I'd never considered really what it would be like to have been the mother of Mary, who probably initially did not receive the news of a pregnancy as a good thing at all. And the challenges around that. This week we get to enjoy the story of the shepherds. The shepherds who received this birth announcement for the very first time. You see, I think that they were really an unlikely bunch for God to pick. When I think about those paper announcements that I made or the digital ones, there's such intentionality about who we tell first, why we tell it, what our hopes or expectations are as we communicate it. And yet, God chose shepherds. And he didn't just choose shepherds. He chose shepherds who were just simply at work. They were living the mundane of everyday life. They were just doing what they always did. It's not like they were worshiping in the temple at length at that time. It's not like they were in deep meditative prayer. They were simply shepherds who were out in the fields, probably the same field they went to almost every night, with probably the same sheep they went to every night. Just living in the mundane of life. So what we do day in and day out. And it is there that God met them. The shepherds would have been really the most average Joes in ancient times. They probably would have actually been less than the average Joe, because their job would have made them ceremonially unclean often. And that is who Jesus, or who God, chose for this initial meet and greet. Because on this particular night, this meet and greet between the heavenly and the earthly, came to the shepherds, to these average people. And it was here that God announced that there would be great joy for all people. And these, I'm going to call them average Joes, became the communicators, the first communicators of this really great news. What an unusual way for the creator of the world to announce the birth of his son. And so let's talk about the mundane. I love that the video asked if the kids would want to be a shepherd. I think that some of them might have had a little bit of a naive idea of what that might have been like then. I like the person who's like, no, that would just be gross, because I'm sure there were many gross aspects of being a shepherd. And so sometimes it's hard to feel like we can relate to the shepherds. But as I was thinking about their jobs and kind of the way they probably were really similar every day, day in and day out, maybe we can relate to aspects of that. Have you ever felt like your days were just a little bit of the same? You get up in the morning, you have the same routine, you go to work, you do whatever it is that you do, you come home. Do your weeks ever blur just because one is similar to the next, which is similar to the next? You see, we have some mundane in life. A lot of our life is just spent in the routine of what we need to get done. And yet it's in these places that God chooses to meet us. It's in this place that he met the shepherds. And so today I want to read Luke 2 together, the portion about the shepherds and the angels. But as we do it, I want to invite you to do it with fresh eyes. I don't know about you, but for me, over-familiarity with a text can sometimes rob me of the treasures in it. I get used to, I've read it so many times. In fact, this one, I switched versions because I literally have read this so many times in the King James Version all my life that I can recite the whole thing in King James Version. And switching versions has helped me to, like, be just a little more careful in reading closely. And so as we approach it today, I want to read it together, this portion. But I want to first pray against this over-familiarity that can rob us. My grandma once flipped back to Genesis because she'd read through the Bible. And she made the comment, like, I wonder what God has in store for me this time. And so maybe we can approach it a little bit like that today. Maybe we can look at Luke 2 in that way. So let's pray against over-familiarity robbing us of what treasures God might have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we turn now to your word, I invite you to stir in us a freshness. As we read the text, Lord, may your word come alive. The treasures in it are many. And guard our hearts from a hardening that can come from this familiar. And stir within us a desire to approach your story, the story of your son's birth, with freshness and life. May we be people who seek like the wise men did. And may we find you. Amen. So if you're a Bible-holding kind of person, you can open up with me to Luke 2. If you like it on your phone, feel free. And we are just going to read the passage together from Luke 8 onward. Luke 8, Luke 2, verse 8. So let's read it together. That night, there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And you know what? It was that night like every other night. It was just that night. There wasn't anything particularly special about it. But that night, the mundane became the miraculous. You see, the next verses read this. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others in the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. You see, that night started out mundane like every other night, but that night was not like every other. That night changed the future of those shepherds, and it changed the future of all people. If you keep reading in verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. You see, when you remove the familiar a little bit, you kind of see the wow factor in it. Those guys just went to work like every other day to the same fields. And God sent angels to the mundane of their everyday. God tends to meet people in the mundane of everyday. He stirs significant life change out of the mundane. His kingdom breaks through in the mundane. And sometimes my God moments are when I've set out part-time to meet with him, but oftentimes God just meets me in my everyday. Our Christian walk is sometimes marked with these high moments, but it's also just a lot of everyday. And the shepherds, having encountered and seen, went back to work. It might have changed the future of all people, but it didn't really change their vocation. But from this mundane, they have this miraculous angelic encounter. And it's interesting to me, if you look through the different stories, the different people that were met by angels in this Christmas story, you'll see that there's kind of a pattern. You see, there's Zechariah's story with the angel, Mary and the angel, Joseph and the angel, and now we have the shepherds and the angel. And there's usually a pattern with some variation, but it follows this. First an angel appears, then there's fear, then there's a do not be afraid remark, and then there's a verifying sign. And that's what happens here. The shepherds were just doing their job like they did every day, and they were thrust from the mundane to the miraculous. Can you imagine what that might have been like? Like, it's not like they went to work with their flashlights and headed out. Their eyes would have adjusted to the darkness. The only sounds they would really be used to hearing were the sheep or the grass or the people they worked with, good or bad sounds alike. There wouldn't have been a lot happening. And you know that moment when, like, you flip the lights on in the morning and you're trying to, like, see? Can you imagine going from that dark and quiet to that incredibly bright light? It would have been scary. No wonder they were afraid. It's not like seeing an angel was in the realm of their normal. Maybe they'd heard about it in stories or probably what they might have even considered to be folklore. Who knows? Maybe it was in the conversation, but they never actually experienced this firsthand, and it did scare them. And that's when the angel reassures them with, "Do not be afraid," telling them that they are bringing great news. They have great news of joy for all people. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Could you use a little good news these days? I know I could. And for the people then, generation after generation had longed for this day. They had looked forward to this Messiah that they'd been promised, when he would come and save them, when this dream for their future became a reality. And now this good news was here. Jesus was come. And the good news was declared for all people. Then they're given this verifying sign, and you will recognize him by the sign. You'll find him wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And then you have this declaration of what the good news would mean. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." It's like God came down, glory to God, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Good news. The shepherds received this good news of the miraculous in the mundane of their work, and they simply couldn't keep it to themselves. They went and confirmed the sign, and from there they shared it with everyone they met. For the people then, the arrival of Jesus was something that they had longed for. It ushered in this reign of the Prince of Peace, and it meant that the long-awaited King had come to earth. But I don't know about you, I've encountered numerous people, even in the last few weeks, where this part of my Christmas story that makes me really excited, the Jesus part of my Christmas, doesn't really matter to them. And so I've been asking this question of, like, how do I communicate this to people? What is the good news to people who don't really care about my Jesus story? And I don't really fully have the answer for that, but I've been praying about that. And in doing so, I've just been drawn to that statement about peace. When it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Because you see, that message of peace, this peace that Jesus makes possible, is too good to keep to ourselves. It says peace on earth. And I want to just sit on this idea of peace for a little bit. The word peace typically indicates, like, the absence of war or the absence of conflict. And at Christmas, this phrase, peace on earth, is found on Christmas cards. I bought some this year. But usually there's, like, some picture of the world on it, and we make this assumption that peace on earth looks like nations not being in conflict with each other and people getting along. But peace on earth, in a biblical sense, is so much broader than the absence of war or conflict. Biblical peace is much more than countries getting along and people liking each other. Jesus was born in a time known as Pax Romana. It was a time when Augustus had established peace simply because Rome was the strongest nation of the time and the others were forced to comply with the way they functioned. It's like saying there's peace in your home simply because everybody else has learned to go around the most powerful person in your home. And the Roman world was experiencing this Pax Romana, this Roman peace, and it was marked by external tranquility. But what the angels came to proclaim is something so much deeper, so much more, more lasting than that. It's a peace of mind and soul that's made possible by a Savior. Peace with God is received by faith in Christ, and it's on believers that His favor rests. And on this day, the angels were declaring that the Prince of Peace had arrived and was bringing a different kind of peace than Augustus had declared. You see, a biblical concept of peace is wrapped up in the word shalom. Shalom is not simply the absence of conflict, but it assumes that there's something better in its place. Shalom refers to a sense of wholeness or completeness. It means well-being and health and soundness and security. It has more to do with our character than it does with our circumstances. It refers to what's happening within us more than what's happening around us. And because of shalom, we can live with a sense of completeness. Shalom speaks to our well-being. Rabbi Robert Kahn compares Roman peace with Hebrew shalom in this way. He says one person can dictate a peace, but shalom is a mutual agreement. Peace is a temporary pact. Shalom is a permanent covenant. Peace can be negative. It's simply the absence of a commotion, conflict. Shalom is positive. It's the presence of serenity and wholeness. Peace can be partial. Shalom is whole and complete. You see, Jesus' arrival made way for humans to experience shalom, life with a sense of completeness. And this completeness is made possible through the restoration of relationship between us and our Creator. It meant that shalom was possible because Jesus had come, and God's favor now rests on those who accept His Son. And through Jesus, shalom can be found internally, regardless of what's happening externally. In Jesus' words, in His teaching, John 14:27 describes this. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is not a peace that the world can give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You see, the world's version of peace is not the gift that Jesus came to bring. It didn't come in a king that sat on a throne, but this peace came with one who died on the cross. This shalom-type peace was created for us so that we could have completeness, wholeness, well-being. And it's this peace that Jesus brings to those who love him. And so when I think about the people who aren't really interested in my Jesus stuff, I'll call it, I sometimes think about this sense of shalom, this idea of shalom or of real peace. And sometimes I think that maybe that's somewhere something that will resonate with them. Because I believe that God created us for this. Perhaps the good news is mixed in with this concept of shalom that's possible through Jesus. Perhaps it's in knowing that God loves us and sent Jesus so it's possible. Perhaps it's in realizing that Jesus came to make whole what is broken and to make possible for us to feel this way. In hymn language, it means that we can actually say, "It is well with my soul." And that, my friends, is worth sharing. That kind of peace is something we yearn for. You see, the world declared peace that day, but it wasn't shalom. It wasn't an internal peace. Romans simply created a calm by force between nations. It was an act of power, not of relationship. Shalom is what we really desire. It's what we were created for. And it's made possible because Jesus came as a baby. Because God loves us. And that is good news. And that is good news that's too good to keep to yourself. When we moved from the mundane to the miraculous, we see that the news is simply too good to keep to ourselves. And the shepherds that day, having received that very first birth announcement, they responded. They weren't given a list of next steps. They weren't told what to do next. They simply responded. I think it's really interesting that the God of the universe didn't tell these simple shepherds what to do next. They went and they simply saw for themselves. And in doing so, they witnessed his majesty and they couldn't contain it. It was too good to keep to themselves. These men became the broadcasters of the news of the Prince of Peace to the world. They really were the first ever evangelists, the first spreaders of good news. And then they went back to work. Isn't that how life works? These mountaintops and a lot of everyday life and some valleys too. But when we return to the mundane after these God moments, we return changed. For the shepherds, they return back glorifying God and praising him. And really, that's the last we hear of the shepherds there. But I wonder about the shepherds. I wonder what's not told about the shepherds. What about their friends? What about their families? How were they different after? Did their demeanor change? Did they ever stop telling the angel's message? Did their children hear it so many times? It's like, yeah, Mom, or Dad, you've told that story a million times. Did their children and grandchildren, was it this story told over and over? What was it like to bump into one of them? And so I'd like you to consider this.
He and I have a rhythm and a routine here in our humble home, and that morning he was messing it up. See, he comes in at 7:12 every morning on the nose. I hear his boots hit the floor. I make the coffee. He washes the pasture off of him, and we take our toast to the patio. That's our thing. He's a quiet man, likes the one-word answers, that one, and then he's off to bed. He keeps the herd at night. Oh, how my parents looked at me when I told them that I'd fallen in love with a shepherd boy. But that's a story for another time. Or never. But that morning, there were no boots, only quiet like my husband. Before I could get to the front door, it slammed. It was loud. It was different, as if the front door knew something I didn't know. My husband yelled for me. He yelled for me. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's lost the herd. He's out of breath. He's saying my name as he takes my face in his big hands. His eyes are full of fear. Awe, tears are running down his face, and he can't stop talking. ranting about this bright light that fell out of the sky and angels. Yes, that is what I said, angels, hundreds of them all over the field proclaiming good news. But what did he mean, good news? Now, I know my husband, the shepherd, he will never hold the scepter of a king, never sit with dignitaries to solve the world's problems, never even be invited to a meal where he has to wear a suit. But he was given the greatest edict in all the land, all the world, actually, called to the front line by God himself to proclaim this good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I can see it in my sleep now. I can see it sometimes too. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God was pleased with my husband, the shepherd. His boots hit the floor a little later on these days, and that's okay, because he is telling anyone who will listen the good news.
I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is good news for all. But it wasn't sent out over a loudspeaker. There was no internet to spread it quickly in those days. It was shared with people like you and me. And it's an invitation to a life of peace that is meant to be shared with the world around us. We're invited to move from the mundane to the miraculous this Christmas. And when we do so, we'll find that the news is simply too good to keep to ourselves. And so as you move into this week, I wonder if you might encounter Jesus' majesty. Probably you won't experience angels showing up at your workplace. And if you do, make sure to spread it around. But it doesn't mean you won't encounter him. Because God promises to always be with us. So may we be people who ask him to give us eyes to see and then words to speak. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for making a way for us to have this sense of shalom. Lord, may we all witness your majesty this Advent season. In the midst of a season filled with meals to plan and decorations to hang and cards to write and gifts to buy, may we take time to experience you firsthand for ourselves. May we experience the shalom you invite us to, not a watered-down version of fake peace, but a true sense of inner wholeness that comes through a relationship with you. May we gain a broader sense of what the good news is so that we can effectively communicate it to those around us. Let what you do within us be something that is truly too great to keep to ourselves. And may the news of your love and peace spread through us to the world. Amen.